Good evening. I'm an alcoholic and my name is Kimberly, and I have the privilege of serving as Panel 71 Delegate for Area 83 Eastern Ontario International. Welcome to the third of four information sessions on the AAWS Comprehensive Media Plan. Our topic tonight is AA on social media, where we'll talk about LinkedIn, Instagram, and YouTube. I want to extend a special welcome to our three panelists for tonight, Clorinda, Diana, and Mike, for joining us this evening and providing us with information and answers to our questions. Just before I turn this meeting over to our facilitator for this evening, there are a couple of housekeeping matters. This session is being interpreted in English and French. To hear the language of your choice, please locate the interpretation button, likely down at the bottom of your screen, and select the English or French channel. Closed captioning has also been enabled, and we are audio only recording in both languages. Links to these audio recordings will be emailed to those who have registered following each session. If you experience any technical difficulties tonight, please send a chat to one of our Zoom techs. And if you have any questions for our panelists during this session, please send them to the chat monitor. We have a chat monitor for English and a chat monitor for French. So please send them a note rather than directly to our panelists. Alcoholics Anonymous is founded on carrying our message. Historically, this was done from one alcoholic to another, and then through our literature. As AA evolved, so has the way that we carry the message. Now we have treatment centers, pamphlets, websites, commercials, newspapers, and grapevine. More recently, this has, of course, changed to include social media, YouTube, podcasts, and the meeting guide app. As the world and the ways we communicate change, how is AA changing to carry our message most effectively? How are we ensuring the message being carried is that of AA? A joint effort with the General Service Board, General Service Office, and Grapevine, we have the Comprehensive Media Plan that looks to answer some of these questions. How do we best carry the message in the spaces we occupy? How do we evaluate the message? How do we grow? What spaces are we in and where should we be to make sure that when anyone anywhere reaches out for help, the hand of AA will be there? I'm now going to turn this session over to our facilitator for this evening, who is Jack R., Public Information Chair for Area 83. Please welcome Jack.
Thank you, Kimberly. Yes, I'm a member of the Step Stop group that meets on Saturday mornings here in District 36, Kingston, Ontario, part of Area 83 International. And my name is Jack, and I'm an alcoholic. So this evening is hopefully going to flow pretty much like the previous two sessions, where we will have each of the three panelists give a short explanation of their role with Alcoholics Anonymous after introducing themselves and their involvement in developing the Comprehensive Media Plan. Each of them have had a role in that, and then we will have lots of time for questions. Each panelist will speak for 5 to 8 minutes to give an overview of their particular expertise and their responsibility in the invitation. Now, the panelists were given a list of some questions in advance of this evening's session, and their remarks will address a number of these questions. While the panelists are speaking, I invite members of the audience to submit any questions that come to mind into the chat. We are looking for a lively discussion among panelists and between panelists and you, the members of the audience. You can submit your questions either in French or English. When called upon, chat monitors will read those questions in the language they are written. And you will, if you go down to the interpretation section, you can put it to your language so that any of the French language ones will be translated to English and vice versa. At this point, I was not made aware of exactly which panelist was going to go first. So I would ask that whoever of the, the three would like to go first, you could do so now.
All right. Thank you, Jack. Hi, everybody. I'm Mike Lewis. I'm alcoholic. Oh, bonjour. I have the pleasure to serve Alcoholics Anonymous as a regional trustee from the West Central region. I'm also in my second year of a rotation on the Grapevine Board. And this year I'm serving as the chair of the Grapevine Board. So that is truly an honor. I was exchanging texts with Diana. She is having some trouble logging on, but she should be joining us shortly. So that's a relief to Clorinda and I. So I want to discuss the comprehensive media plan and how it comes into play with the Grapevine, especially when, you know, our topic is AA on social media, which includes LinkedIn, Instagram, and YouTube. The LinkedIn part is really easy on the Grapevine because we don't have a presence there. If you do search AA Grapevine on LinkedIn, you will find a page that was created by LinkedIn, who have profiles and list the Grapevine as an employer. But that is not something that that we've put together as an organization. We don't see a need for it at the time. It's definitely something that is being covered better by AAWS. So I'm going to leave that to Clorinda and Diana's capable hands. So I do want to talk about Instagram and our YouTube channel. So we have two Instagram accounts. One of them is for Grapevine, and it's in English. And the other is for La Viña, and it is in Spanish. And our Grapevine Instagram page has 8,649 followers as of this afternoon, which is pretty tremendous. We also on the Instagram page, we have 1,064 followers. So one of the things that we look at when we're posting items on the Instagram page is it's a very visual. So there's a lot of pictures, and primarily it's pictures, but there will be some quotes, some snippets that we take out of the Grapevine itself, quotes from Bill W, and just passages from some of the stories that are printed. We also post, items about upcoming events, the international convention, any conferences that are of note to the Grapevine. We also, this is one of the things that I've done consistently, is when I travel to area events or regional events, I make sure that I take pictures of any of the Grapevine displays or anything that I think that might be of interest and would fit in with what we're doing with the Instagram page. And so we get a lot of submissions from the fellowship there. And all of that material gets filtered through our staff, primarily through our publisher, Chris C. And he will screen it, make sure that it is anonymity protected, make sure there are no full face pictures. And then also whenever Chris posts something, whenever we submit it, he wants us to identify where it's coming from, whoever is submitting it or what event it was, the picture was taken from. So I think it's important to communicate that we are getting around and the Grapevine is really has coverage throughout the fellowship. So our Instagram page, if you'll notice that it has followers, there has been a minor controversy thinking that this is going to break anonymity. We're disabled on Instagram on our pages because we don't want people posting that they're a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that carries over to our YouTube channel as well. And this was something that was discussed at the conference. I believe it was 2 years ago or it was 3 years ago, but it was discussed and it was determined that following our page on Instagram an anonymity break. It's not declaring your membership in AA. It would be the same as if I were following the Instagram page for NASA. That would not make me an astronaut, right? It's so the only way we can break our anonymity is by publicly stating that we are members of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that doesn't, we don't have that opportunity to do that with the comment shut off. The other venture that we have going on social media is our YouTube channel. And the Grapevine YouTube channel has 9,200 subscribers currently. We've got material posted in English and Spanish, and there is a mix of videos, and we have just started up receiving audio contributions. So we have an opportunity for members to call in, record their story. We're taking 7-minute sections, and then we're turning those into YouTube items. So if you go on our YouTube channel, you can search and see that we have the first name, last initial, and then maybe a little snippet about what they're going to show, 7 minutes. And the ones I've listened to are, the quality is pretty good, considering I remember when we first started that up, it sounded like someone was on a walkie-talkie, and it was the audio, or at least the clarity was not all there. So with our YouTube page, we also have comments shut off so that we do not present the opportunity for someone to go on and break their end. We have some other ventures that we're starting to work with. And this is probably going to be better suited for the next session where we talk about content creation. But I just want to give a plug for a couple of things. Number one is our podcasts that come out every Monday. I believe that we are over 300,000 downloads on the podcast right now. And we're getting ready to release a second podcast that goes with the weekly one that we're doing now. In addition to that, we are also in development of an app. A smartphone app that should be able to, as well as eventually be an interactive tool for the fellowship. So those are some ventures that we have on the horizon. And I look forward to all of your questions. And Jack, I'm going to turn this back over to you. I haven't seen if Diane showed up yet, but I know that Clarinda is here.
I'm here.
Yes, all right. Everybody's here. Thank you, Mike. That was a very good synopsis, and I'm sure a lot of questions will be generated. So right now, I would maybe ask Clarinda to give a little talk on what her role is in the Comprehensive Media Plan.
Sure. Thank you. Hello, everyone from rainy, windy New York City, where they're lighting the tree at Rockefeller Center. I think. I'm really happy to be here with all of you and meet you all virtually, and I look forward to the conversation that we'll have. I am director of Communications Services Department, which is a fairly new department within GSO. Until several years ago, it was a staff assignment. Now it's a full-fledged department. I'm the first director. I'm also an alcoholic too. I've been in the program a long time. And just on a personal level, coming to GSO after a long career as in communications and higher ed, the pace and the means by which we communicate has been, I have to say, frankly, kind of a shock, even though obviously I know how AA operates and it's the group conscience and there's nobody in charge. And that's why we've thrived and sustained the program all these years. But as a communicator, looking at the current landscape, of course, you know, there's so many opportunities for us, and that I can contribute to helping us take a deeper look at what's out there, what's relevant to us, what's workable. I want to say that I'm incredibly impressed with the level of care and thoughtfulness that goes into evaluating communications vehicles and platforms in terms of adhering to our values and principles and traditions. In terms of the CMP, our role in communications is to support and advance and make operational the various aspects of the CMP. And to its development and its updating every year. And as Kim said in the beginning, I believe that, you know, right now we really do have an urgent need to meet members and suffering alcoholics and other key audiences where they are. And one thing that really attracted me to this role is that I think we're in a real watershed time in AA, and that the pandemic pushed us into the digital age in a way that we may not have gotten there eventually, but not at the rate that we've arrived. And the, you know, we have alcoholics of all generations, but the younger generation, Gen Z in particular, is really pushing us in ways that we may not have anticipated. You know, we have many members who are very online and members who are still analog. So we have to think about all of the various audiences that we're dealing with. And Mike, I'm gonna use your NASA example someday, I love it. And we really look to the grapevine in Lavinia as a great model of having a very contemporary and consistent visual identity and message platforms. And I think AAWS as a model. We're also in the early stages of developing a GSO podcast as well. And Grapevine, the podcast producers have been really great in terms of helping us with that. And the Grapevine podcast is fabulous. So I hope everyone listens to that as well. And another thing, as we're moving forward with our department, is we're working closely with the publishing department to make our literature available and available across platforms in the digital sphere. More than 70% of the visitors to our website are on mobile, and most of our content is very mobile unfriendly. I mean, you think of on the website, the pages of PDFs, of pamphlets, and how fabulous would it be to have a great, you know, a pamphlet that are targeted to newcomers in HTML that you can really look at on your phone and share it and in social or wherever. So we're looking at integrating those sorts of things into our website. And I'll talk a little bit about LinkedIn and YouTube. And also, we are taking a look at Instagram, again, using Grapevine as a great model in posting of really engaging content, and also not having the comments on for anonymity, also because we don't want to be drawn into any sorts of controversy, arguing, you know, the kind of stuff that is like the dark side of social media. So LinkedIn, our LinkedIn page is primarily targeted to the professional community, and Diana can speak up about it as she was the CPC staff assignment before moving into conference. And as of today, we have 24,023 followers. And the page is Alcoholics Anonymous World Services. And I strongly encourage you to like us, follow us, tell your friends. Again, liking us or following us doesn't break anonymity. It doesn't identify you as an AA member. And in fact, we actually have a cross-section of folks who are following us, of people in mental health, hospitals and healthcare, civic and social organizations, and nonprofits. And we also use the page to post our job listings as well. And I believe, Mike, we post great listings on there as well. So that's where I found out about this position, was from the LinkedIn posting and some AA news as well. Our posts are translated into French and Spanish. One impediment is because we don't post our video on platforms that aren't ours. We currently video into our posts, and that is one of the best ways to drive engagement on LinkedIn. So that's something we're going to take a deeper look at in 2023. So as I said, it's mainly targeted to the professional community. So the content involves information that may be of help to professionals. Also, we've done other posts about, for example, the Grapevine Instagram, just to give them the tools and the information to help their own clients and with a pamphlet, you know, links to our website, PSAs, things like that. But again, Diana can talk more about that. We post twice a month. We made significant progress with that and this year. So we're building up a regular cadence of posting, which helps with engagement and building followers as well. YouTube, we're lagging a little behind. Great. As of today, we have 7,800 subscribers. Overall views in the history of the channel are more than 330,000. Currently, there are 207 videos uploaded, including ASL, French and Spanish translations. And again, I encourage you to subscribe and follow and take a look at those videos. What we do have some videos we haven't posted, and we're currently in the process of improving our bumpers because every video needs to have, you know, a bumper indicating that this is Alcoholics Anonymous. And the bumpers that existed were sort of clunky and difficult to add. So we're streamlining that and streamlining our visual identity. We're close to finishing that. So then we'll be able to quickly upload more videos to the channel and make it more robust and build our audience as well. And we're also looking to do more video in 2023 as well. And one thing that we want to do more of is interviews with Class A trustees, because they actually can be on camera and identify themselves and have a lot of really vital information to share. So to the extent that they're comfortable with that, we would like to do more of that. Looking into animation, which would be perfect for us because you wouldn't have to show faces, but it would be really engaging, especially for younger audiences. We are in the midst of the Young People's Video Project as well. So hoping to have that content in 2023 as well. So that's about it for me right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Clorinda. I've learned a lot already, and we haven't had any questions yet. So excellent presentation. And the final presentation is from Diana. So
thank you. Just as I unmute myself, my my laptop says you're I'm going to turn off my camera. I'm just going to turn off my camera for a moment, just because I want my internet to get restabilized. I hope that will help. And then I just want to say hi, everybody. I'm Diana. I'm an alcoholic, and I have had the pleasure to serve on the CPC assignment a couple years ago, and have stepped in occasionally to support the role. And as the focus of LinkedIn is really to cooperate with the professional community. And what I mean in this sense, in the social media space, is to just provide information that could help them understand how AA fits into their practicum, their practice. Also, if they have a client or a patient, somebody in a professional way that they're helping, if there is an alcohol problem or a situation with alcohol that they feel that that person should could AA share with them, that would help them make that decision. Or if they already know that person would benefit from exploring an open meeting, what could help them? So we're trying to be visible in the professional space, and we're also trying to be accessible. And please just tell me if I speak too slow or if I'm unclear for the interpreters. And what I thought I'd do is just share a little bit backstory. I know as a CPC area chairperson, one of the questions I know that was brought up or has been brought up on the desk before was, you know, when a new area CPC chair comes on board, you know, how do they know about all the tools that are that they could use to help their professionals in their area? And definitely LinkedIn is one of those tools or resource. I guess it's more of a service that we provide to the fellowship to support. So we are here, like if the professional will reach out to the CPC desk and ask a question, we pretty much will answer it. But we're really looking to make a connection with the local committee. So I think what I wanted to just do briefly is just share a I'm going to share my desktop here just to show you LinkedIn page, because I think one of the things on the page that is very helpful is the about page. Every page has a place where you can learn a little bit about the company. And let's see, I'm going to put that here. Pardon me. Moment. Okay, I think right now I'm sharing the LinkedIn page. Can you see it okay? I think so. People are nodding. Great. So one of the things on the About page, and this will tie into the sidebar, there were a couple of years during the General Service Conference where we have a LinkedIn page. How are we going to deal with our focus, you know, our primary purpose, that we're not affiliated and that we have the focus of carrying our message? And so one of the things that happened was here on the second paragraph, and I'll put this what link in the chat for you. Here, it's just talking about just that. Because the platform is not designed and built by us, there are these sidebar links, and that's part of the LinkedIn design, similar links. So what it says here basically is saying that we, although we cooperate with professionals to help alcoholics, our fellowship is self-supporting. Oh, that's just a little bit about the self-support part. We're not affiliated with other content displayed in the sidebar, and talks about that there's no dues or fees for AA membership. And really at that part, the intention was to try to set our page apart from any type of recovery or professional entities. And really the goal is to give information, like I said, but also to just provide the website. So a professional, they can come to the main AA page to learn more about AA.org. There's some information, videos. We also mentioned that Grapevine is available. There's a brief thing here about the meeting guide app as well. And then what I wanted to do was just go over here to the post. So post, as Clorinda mentioned, our here, the conference committee, CPC conference committee. I know there's a few people here from that committee. They had some suggestion on what would be helpful, you know, to professionals to learn a little bit about what AA is and what it is not. And so that might, some questions that have arose sometimes are, why would you put a pamphlet, the pamphlet where money and spirituality mix, on this type of page? I'm sorry, I'm having trouble here. I'm just going to reduce this a little bit. And so this is one example of how we try to use our existing AA conference approved material. And that would be that pamphlet. That's a picture from Where Money and Spirituality Mix. And how that is, what we do in this first area here is it's just a brief description. And as Clorinda mentioned, there's a process where we're trying to speak in the vernacular and the way that would be most helpful to a professional. Some of them are on this LinkedIn profile space looking for resources, probably on their coffee break, in between phone calls, multitasking like everybody. And so there's always these kind of open-ended questions. And as Clorinda mentioned, it is in our three languages. It is translated. And then they have an ability to ask a question. And there's things on here, like there is a mention about with different professionals. There's different links, I think. Let's see. Oh, there's one about a press release. So these are things that typically they're already on the AA.org website, but because they're not think to go to our website first and dig around, this is just giving them that visibility. This had a few mentions. There was one conference in November in Saskatoon. And then it goes on, and I'm going to stop sharing right now, just to give, that's the PSA mention about that. So what happens is it is a tool, just like the About AA newsletter is a tool. Of course, the newsletter is digital. It's not on social media, but the idea is that this profile page is something where a professional could see something, they find it useful. Like one example I remember maybe last year, a year and a half ago, an HR professional, they took one of our posts and reposted it within their community. So we're not really counting like how many professionals are using it. We don't try to figure that out, but what we do is just make it available. I think for now that's probably good, but I really will invite and welcome any questions in detail that you have, and I'll put the link in the chat. Thank you.
Thank you, Diana. Okay, so now we've had a little synopsis of what the comprehensive media plan is for those social media platforms. And so now we would like to throw it open for questions. And I will ask the chat monitors if there are any questions in just a second. And then the panelists can decide who would like to answer it. And if I can think of any questions, and I would ask the audience to continue to throw questions into the chat directed towards the chat monitors. I believe the English one is Michelle and the French one is
Nathalie.
Oh yes, Nathalie. Okay, thank you. So at this point, I would maybe ask Michelle if there are any questions in English.
Yeah, there are lots of them. And I guess there's a few that are related to the links to the GSO and Grapevine links to get to YouTube and LinkedIn and Instagram. So could you maybe put those in the chat somewhere? Okay. And I guess the first one is for Mike. It says, what will the GB, the Grapevine app, include?
That's a great question. And we are in development right now. It's going to include stories from the Grapevine, obviously, and Lavinia. It's going to have access to our archives. It will that can be personalized, like a sobriety calendar, sobriety countdown. A connection to meetings. It will have video. It will have the podcast available. There are just a number of features that we're currently working on. We're in the early initial stages of development with the app. We're hoping for rollout in September of 2023. So. By then, I will be rotated off the Grapevine board, and I will not be responsible for it. But you can, I definitely will have it on my phone. I can tell you that it's something that's long overdue. Most of the rest of the publishing industry has switched to some form of digital material, and I think it's long overdue for the Grapevine.
I actually would. Ask a question of Mike. Will that app be considering the subscription price for a yearly magazine or the digital version online? Would it be a one-time purchase app or would it be a subscription?
We're currently looking at it as a subscription.
Okay. Maybe I would ask Nathalie if there are any questions in French.
No, there's no question in French yet.
Okay, well, perhaps.
Thank you.
We'll keep those coming, hopefully. Michelle?
Yeah, we have many questions in English. So the next one is, how is YouTube being used to provide ASL,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
So I guess ASL, is it provided on YouTube?
Yes.
Okay, so that does it. And then there's a long one and it says, each district and data group have their own websites, virtual meeting approach, own everything, which leads to reinventing the wheel over and over again. Wouldn't it not make more sense to consolidate or provide uniform proven models to all AA entities, which they could choose from and use in the spirit of autonomy. So they say that most in-person AA meetings are remarkably similar, yet the virtual world for AA is very diverse, and it's hard to find help when people are seeking it. Method and UX, I'm not sure what that means. So
User experience, yeah.
Okay, so is there a way to, I guess, homogenize everything?
That's a great question. And I think probably better answered by someone who's been a GSO for longer than I've been. I know that in most matters, we want everything to devolve to the local groups and intergroups and, maintaining their own independence. But I think that is a valid point of sharing best practices and, latest ideas. There is a technology in AA online group that does that, and it's pretty active, and they share a lot of expertise on that. I think the depth among our members is really breathtaking, and a lot of that does go on formally and informally. So other than that, I don't know if Mike or Diana have anything to add on that.
Yeah, I'll jump in, Clorinda. Especially coming from the viewpoint of the General Service Board, is that we want to remember where we are at in the service structure, whether we're the General Service Board or one of the corporate entities. And we want to make sure that any action that we take is not viewed as an act of governance or telling the fellowship how to do something. And so in the past, we have stayed away from providing formats like that or templates, and says our pamphlet on self-support, that some groups view that as the way their group should contribute, and they view that as a directive from headquarters, and it's absolutely not. It's just an example of your group could contribute this way or that way or this model, and the way that gets misconstrued has caused a lot of pain in the fellowship, and we don't want to do that especially with anything that could be construed as we're telling a group how to operate or how to function. We want to yield to that autonomy. So it's things like this are better developed by organically by groups like the TIAA, the Technology and AA group, that and they've done some tremendous work. So an example of that is our meeting guide app that came organically from the fellowship.
Or may I speak?
Yes, go ahead, Diana.
Oh, sorry about that. I just to add on to Mike and Clorinda's, another part of that is, a local entity, the members, the fellowship members, our fellows are there in the community need, and where the hand of the alcoholic is. And so the intention of having it be autonomous, a district website or an area website, is really to allow people the ability to connect in the way that is putting ourselves in the alcoholic's point of view, like what will be the most effective way, and what is the most effective way for that community to do service together. And as Clorinda mentioned, some areas and districts are not completely online. There are needs to have things done in different ways, since this is digital and social media. And so the autonomy allows that. And I feel like my experience at the office has been where we can be useful is to that technology and AA community. It's not a service that GSO provides directly, but we are, you know, definitely in cooperation, you know, that spirit of cooperation. And the other thing was another place where a lot of people seem to connect on these topics is at a regional forum or a service assembly, excuse me. So they usually have panels and workshops, and I hope that's helpful. Thanks.
Thank you, Diana. And I might just add, in Area 83, we had an ad hoc committee that was examining our own digital resources and what we needed to do to upgrade and make them more accessible. And a couple of the members of our committee, Kimberly notably as well, we researched a number of the other areas, and matter of fact, all the other areas' websites, and you know, culled from them how they did it, and then talked to some of them about what worked and what didn't. And so in this age of being able to communicate via Zoom with various people, you know, we can all communicate together and find out what works and what doesn't for their areas or their districts. And it's a whole new world that opens up with Zoom. And any other questions, Michelle?
Hey, Jack, there is a little more information there. We have Patrick C., who is sitting in with us tonight. Patrick sits on the PI desk at the General Service Office, and he says that he has some information that would help on this.
Yes, please. Patrick, thank you for joining, and please elaborate. Oh.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Patrick, information assignment. I've seen some of you over the past couple of weeks, enjoying these sessions from Area 83. So I just wanted to mention, and Diana is aware of this as well, because we've been working on it in a cooperative manner, there are ways that we're trying to create content at the office level that could be utilized at the local level in this way. So let me share with you what I'm talking about. So I mentioned PI and cooperation with the professional community service cards, for example. We're creating these so that we would be developing them with self-support dollars here at the office. So there would be a consistent way for you guys at the local level to ultimately purchase these cards for use at tables, events, exhibits, or we're seeking also to create digital versions of these digital templates of these cards that could then be utilized by local committees with putting their own information on the card, getting it printed or sending it out digitally or in some way, shape or form, utilizing that. So it would be a way where in this way, we would be able to start to see some continuity, if you will, you know, created, you know, by your service office here, but for your benefit. So not everything works, you know, in the ways that we all would like for it to be all uniformed and what have you, based on what Mike and everyone else has shared. But we are looking at ways where we're trying to utilize the self-support dollars in effective ways to create content for you guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Patrick. Ask Natalie, any questions in French yet?
No questions.
Okay, Michelle?
Yes, lots. So I'll just go in order that we received them. So Clorinda mentioned that our videos are on a platform we own on LinkedIn and that we can share our videos there. Can't we post videos on YouTube and share those as well?
We, and Diana might want to chime in on on this as well. We cannot embed videos on our LinkedIn posts because we can't use our videos on another platform because we want folks to come from social media to our website. And I don't think that LinkedIn allows you to post the link to a video in the post. It's sort of the formatting is a little stricter than other platforms. So we have and this is definitely a challenge for us that we have the videos on LinkedIn, on YouTube, but we really don't do much with them. And we might link to it from, for example, but we don't use that channel very robustly right now. And that's why just expanding our presence on social media may help with that. I mean, that we're definitely in sort of the discovery phase about how we can have that more robust presence with our content.
May I add to that?
Sure.
So I'll just thank you. If you would indulge me, what I could do is show you guys how we do our workaround with that. Just as Clarinda mentioned, we don't.
Oh, Diana, that would be great.
Yes, yeah, we have a workaround. So I'll just share my screen again. Wish me luck. Here we go. Okay. So for example, this is a screen. This is a still shot from a video regarding HR professionals. And so, as Clarinda said, it's not a video in the blurb that is explaining about this. So what it says here is alcoholism can affect anyone in the workplace. Watch three helping professionals discuss how AA can serve as a vital resource for the individuals and et cetera. And then you click on this short link is how we do it. And then it takes you to the website aa.org. where you can view the actual video. And I, of course, won't show the whole thing, but it has all the, what Clarinda was referring to as the bumpers, which explain, just give people clarity about what they're watching. And not that I would show the whole thing, but it goes into the different professionals in the video. So I just wanted to point that out, how the workaround works. Thank you.
Thanks, Diana. And the issue with, it's great that we're able to do that, but the issue is actually having the video embedded in the post. Yes. Is what drives engagement more. We're doing there is taking them, not even to our YouTube page, we're taking them to our website. It's very old school, the way of doing it.
Excellent. Some more questions then, Michelle?
Yeah, two LinkedIn related questions. One is how often do we post things on it? And could it be made more clear that we're not affiliated with any, not affiliated disclaimer on LinkedIn so that it wouldn't be missed?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first one is, okay, thank you, Clarinda. Basically, how often do we post? We are sticking with a minimum of twice a month. And the intention with that is to work through a process and to be very consistent. And so to have that regular opportunity for people to know of a post that's coming, a rhythm. And of course, if there are opportunities, we have occasionally posted more, and the intention is to increase that number once the resources and the process is worked out. One of the things like we're learning about the video, how are we going to work around that in a consistent level? and streamline the process. And then regarding your second question, I'm sorry, it had to do with
the disclaimer.
Yes, the disclaimer. Well, I'll definitely provide that feedback. And I believe we have a new GSO staff member who's just started recently and who is on the CPC assignment. So these are the kind of things where people are more, you know, welcome to reach out to the CPC coordinator, which is cpc@aa.org, and sharing these ideas. But it's definitely something for the next time when they're reviewing it, they could look at that. That might happen where they could either update possibly the About Us page, or another option is it could be a great opportunity to post to create a post that really clarifies our singleness of purpose. So,
Jack, I have a third related question for Diana, I guess, regarding LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody goes on our LinkedIn platform, how do they get in touch with
That's one way is they can click on the link that brings them to the AA.org website. Another way is on the About Us page. There is language in there that says you can visit us on the professional page as well. There is a contact, I think it's called message, or let me just see, contact or message. I have the page open on my other screen here.
Yeah, you can message.
Yeah, it's the message. Thank you. Wow. And so where that goes is we do have a couple of employees who look at that box regularly. And if it's a professional who has questions and needs some assistance in that regard, it will be routed to the CPC coordinator. And of course, if it's something related to a job post, it gets routed appropriately through another channel. Does that answer your question?
I think so. I actually, there were some questions that were posed beforehand. And although some of you did mention them in your opening statements, why do we have comments disabled on YouTube? And how do we protect the anonymity of people who follow Instagram? I think those questions were partially answered, but maybe just to hear it again.
Yeah, I'll take that, Jack. Thank you. Okay, so the way we do that, why we have those comments disabled is when we first launched in the digital market, I believe it was with our big book on Kindle, and it was sold on Amazon. Initially, when we posted that, we did not have comments turned off. And if anyone has been around for a while when that came out and they can remember, I remember spending an afternoon at an area assembly sitting next to our literature chair reading the comments. And it was a nightmare. I think we identified 8 tradition breaks in just like about 100 comments. It was horrible. What we want to do is we don't want to give well-intentioned members an opportunity to go on and sing our praises or post something else that maybe doesn't sing our praises, right? We want to stay out of that public controversy. And the only way that we can do that is to shut off the comments and just post the content there. Now, this was in discussion when we started the Instagram page. If anyone is familiar with it, you know, you can follow the account. And if you go on our Instagram page, you can see who is following the account. That doesn't mean that those members are declaring themselves members of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because I can look through there and I can find several non-alcoholics that I've served with that are following our account. So just because we're following the Grapevine account doesn't mean we're declaring membership in Alcoholics Anonymous. We don't have comments turned on in Instagram because we want to avoid that that trap of allowing people the opportunity to disclose their membership. So my understanding of that 11th tradition is that when I proclaim my membership publicly to Alcoholics Anonymous, I am breaking my anonymity. When I publicly disclose someone else's membership in Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm breaking their anonymity. That doesn't apply to people who follow the Instagram accounts or people who are subscribers to the YouTube channels. So that's all I got, Jack.
Thank you, Mike. Another question that was on the pre-circulated list was, which social media platforms belong to which entity and why? So I'm assuming that they're asking whether AA World Services or Grapevine actually owns the page, but I'll let one of you answer that.
I don't know if you want to answer this, Mike. I'm not quite sure,
sure.
What that means, but
yeah. So because we are AA Grapevine and AAWS are two separate entities, we keep those separate.
Yes.
They all fall under the purview of the General Service Board. But as a director on AA Grapevine, I am directly responsible for the oversight of the Grapevine YouTube channel, the Grapevine account on Instagram, and the Lavinia account on Instagram. AAWS is directly has direct oversight of the LinkedIn page, and as well as the AAWS YouTube channel, and really any other social media. The Vimeo account, I believe, is under AWS. So, and we do that because we're two separate corporations, and we need to keep that separation for just standard business practices. That's how we engage our direct oversight as directors.
I think in terms of why we have certain social media channels and not others, that has seemed to have slowly evolved over the last few years. My understanding is that Facebook was considered and rejected. Twitter was considered and tabled a few years ago. And we were actually looking into that this year, but now, I mean, who knows where that's going. And I think that in the next 6 months to a year, there's going to be a real shakeout in social media, and we'll see who's still standing and who's legitimate, who's viable, who's relevant for us. But given the shifting landscape right now, we're sort of, you know, building what we have, thinking seriously about Instagram, and then just sort of taking time to look at what else is out there.
It certainly is a changing world. All right, Michelle, any other questions?
Yeah, lots of questions. Thanks, Jack. So I guess this one is addressed to Clorinda, because you mentioned earlier that we have a lot of stuff on AA.org in PDFs, but somebody's saying that the literature that he sees on AA.org is displaying properly on his phone. And I guess there are two issues, but maybe you could address them.
As I mentioned earlier, one of the challenges that we have that we want to address in the next year is making our literature that's on AA.org more mobile friendly, reader friendly, digital, having an HTML presence, because right now it's all posted as discrete PDFs. which are a little challenging to read, and to share on mobile, which is where the vast majority of our AA.org audience is right now. So we're definitely working on that, and we're considering a platform that would be within AA.org on which we could display and share the literature in HTML and the newsletters as well, like Box 459 especially.
Okay.
That. That's that.
Thank you. Natalie, are there any questions in French? No?
No questions.
Go ahead, Michelle. You've got lots.
Yeah, lots and lots. So probably won't go through them all today, but I'm assuming that you will be answering them at some point. Does AA Archive have anything about how the television media was used in AA's infancy? And if so, are there lessons that can be applied to today's media use?
Would somebody like to answer that? Or?
I can't speak to what's in the archives related to that. I'm sure that they have information. I would encourage you to reach out to the archives at GSO. I do want to say that I find what Bill wrote about communications incredibly relevant to what we're going through today, in that he was always very enthusiastic about using whatever communications tools were at our disposal to help groups and members carry the message. And I think he would be really excited by the possibilities and opportunities in digital media, maybe a little too enthusiastic, but I think that a lot of his writings from the early days are just as relevant to what we're going through now. Not to be fearful, to be careful, obviously, but to look for opportunities. But that's an interesting question about thinking about the early days with TV.
And along those lines, I guess a question that I would have is the content on these platforms going to be archived somewhere? So for instance, podcasts for Grapevine, will they be stored somewhere? And would that be in archives? Would that be at Grapevine?
As far as the Grapevine material, yes, we will archive that definitely internally. And I do believe that that gets forwarded to our archives department as well.
All right, well, we've still got about 15 minutes or more just to field some more questions from Michelle.
Yeah, this one is addressed to Mike. So the Grapevine app will be launched when? And did you get a lot of feedback from members?
Yeah, we did. That's a great question. We did receive lots of feedback. And what we liked about it is the feedback was not just from the tech community, right? There are a lot of people that were very well versed on, but we also received information or a request from non-technically adept people about what features they would like to have on it as well. So we appreciate that. Right now, our target rollout is going to be sometime in September of 2023. Now, up until, you know, going through this process of development, we will have reports available, and those will be coming through the service structure. We'll report those back out to the delegates, and we hope to have a very robust report on our development at the General Service Conference in April. So, but our target for the rollout is September of 2023.
Thank you. Other questions, Michelle?
Yeah, the next one is somebody mentioned, because Diana showed us an image of spirituality, money mixing together, and it said it's an outdated image. Online meetings do not use baskets, but electronic means. How are the presenters incorporating images, content that are included, that are including online groups?
That's a great question. Actually, it was, there are, as in your area, subcommittees that are focusing on different topics, and there is a self-support subcommittee through the AA World Services Corporate Board. And that was exactly the same comment they had as well. What they do is look at ways to try to just make it more accessible and available. And they talked about suggestions that are going to be to include how we practice self-support as a fellowship. And my understanding is that the conference committee, finance conference committee, they review the self-support package every year. And so some of these, a memo with suggestions, just similar to what you had shared, what the question was asking, was brought to their attention. So I guess more will be revealed on the, as once we're going through this conference cycle about updating graphics, but it is something that is definitely noted in the way we share.
Okay. Just another question from the previously submitted list. How is social media different than boots on the ground PI stuff? How are they the same? Why is social media necessary if PI committees do their work?
I love this one. I'm like, pick me. This is so good. This is CPC and PI. Well, actually, that they're on there for the benefit of the local committees, because as public information, boots on the ground, there is that boots on the ground literally, but there is a new area where the boots are on the ground in the social media space. Again, that principle of making AA visible and available, where the hand is reaching out. And perhaps one thought, and this would be a great discussion topic, on your committee as well, when you're talking about ways people bring up this kind of topic, is, the hand of AA. And in chapter 7 in our book, we're trying to reach the newcomer or the person where they are at. And so that whole topic of social media and the digital space and websites and professional platforms, that all came about, which was part of the initial conversation of this comprehensive media plan. And specifically on LinkedIn, that was one of many platforms. Like Clorinda mentioned, it wasn't that they were so focused on LinkedIn. They were trying to have more of an open mind to just make it available. So as a committee in your district or your area, a lot of committees, what they're doing is they have these resources as part of when they are reaching out to the community. So it's maybe on their business card. They might have a QR code or a link that brings them to these platforms. A lot of places will have maybe a resource page, like a link. Like, for example, in the link for the About AA newsletter, typically those articles, those issues have a resource page with all of the links that we, Mike and Clorinda and I, have spoken about. And so local committees, when they have a professional brunch or whatnot, they can use this card. So it's definitely, the intention is to provide that resource for the local committees. And that's one of the reasons, like the, I think that's what I wanted to say, but it's an exciting thing because the intention of these resources are not to compete. It's really to be, to help. It's really to help. So if a local committee, for example, if you have in your district or area, let's say you don't have a big budget to do 50 dinners and renting a hall and cooking and all that stuff for a professional brunch, but you may want to have an information session. That was something that really took off a lot during the pandemic. People were having Zoom coordinating little brief, I call it like an office hours, but it's really just that a quick Q&A where they've invited a local operating with the community, the local AA committee, and they have a Q&A session. And then they're putting all these chat links in the chat to help them. And of course, providing the link to their own local committee page or area website. So I don't know, I think it's really fun and exciting because at the end of the day, we're just trying to make it a little easier for the local fellowships to carry the message. You know, it's not to crusade the message on the behalf of the local committees, rather it's just to assist in service to carry the message. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Diana. Any other questions there, Michelle?
Yeah, and I guess the next two are a good segue from what Diana just said about all these efforts not being in competition with one another. Because somebody mentioned that he always liked the centrality of AA.org, and then he's a bit worried that having all those other avenues might dilute the message. And then another person is worried about the harvesting of information when somebody goes to one of those our websites, either the Grapevine ones or the AA.org.
So, so I gather that means, so is AA's message being diluted by going in several different platforms and are individual members' information being harvested when they go on these sites?
Oh, let me see. I thought, yeah. Well, I can't speak about that, but how I was understanding the question is, you know, with this social, we have several digital platforms, we have social media, and so people can take information from that and use it on their own website. There, I was just gonna, if that was a concern, there's the, if you're a local AA committee, there are terms of use, you know, when you're trying to create content, and that's, you can find details about that at the very bottom of the page of AA.org, terms of use. But if you are interested, a lot of local committees will utilize resources. And I believe that's something that are currently under revision, where you can just take a link, you put it on your area website or your district website, and it goes directly to AA.org. But it looks, it's not just a link, it has a little graphic that makes it a little more interesting.
Yeah, I think it had to do with what you said, Diana, but also Jack. Yeah, they were worried that it would be followed, you know, like if they visit websites. And somebody wants to know more about TIAA.
I'm not sure what that is.
The technology and AA group.
Right.
That's a local association. I'm not, I get their emails, but I'm not sure of how to get to them. Diana, do you know?
I've got the link. I'm going to pull it up. Yeah.
It's are awesome with the links tonight.
It's my coffee. No, it's my pleasure. I was just going to say, just so people know that this is in the spirit of Tradition 9, it's a grassroots. It's a bunch of alcoholics saying, hey, we want to do this. We want to talk about technology and AA. That's how it happens. And so I'll put it in the chat. And I only say that because it's not conference approved. And that does not mean bad. That just means they didn't need our input. They didn't, it didn't need to be a policy, but it's a great resource. Like Corinda said, you can post questions. I'm just going to put it in the chat for you. Thank you.
I find it a really great resource, and I always learn something about what folks are working on.
Okay. We've got a few more minutes, Michelle.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. So somebody is asking whether all the videos posted on YouTube will keep the same URL link, because they're printing cards with those links on them and the QR code.
Updating with the new bumpers, is that, I think that's what they're asking, that we're not going back and changing the older videos, because that would change the URL, but going forward, any new video we post would have the updated branding.
Thank you. One more time, Natalie. No
questions.
It means the translations are going very well. So, Michelle?
Yes, someone says they're participating in a couple of AA accessibility committees. I noticed.
Yeah, somebody's echoing. Okay, go ahead.
It's Natalie. She's sitting next to me. I noticed that the documents about online meetings and groups are not available online. Seems info about online should be available online. Is that being updated?
This is the list to the, there is.
Accessibility committees?
The online group is, when you go to AA.org and you go to
accessibility kit.
Oh, accessibility kit, pardon me.
No, yes. It came in the second question.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Here's another link. This link will take you to all of the service committees. One of them is the accessibility committee, and I'll put it in French as well. Aussi en français, un momentit. And then for online, if there is an online intergroup that we do have, I believe it still is mentioned on the Find AA Near You page. I'm just going to put that, double check real quick. The Find AA Near You, let's see. Oh, it's not on there now. Oh, yes, it is. There is a button you can click to go to the online intergroup. Again, it's a autonomous entity of AA members who have created an online website. So I'm putting Find AA Near You. And when you go to that page and scroll down a little bit, there's a blue button that says Online Intergroup. And so that's where you can learn about them. Again, it's like technology in AA. It's created with alcoholics, just, you know, in the spirit of Tradition 9 to provide that service. And it's been around since the 80s. So that's another reason it was before a lot of people weren't even considering having a computer in their own home. So it's been around for a long time.
All right, we still have a couple more minutes. Go ahead, Michelle, if you have any more there.
Yeah, somebody asks, does creating a presence on social media require conference approval for each platform?
I'll cover that one, Jack. Yes. Yes, it does. We the input from the fellowship, and that's where we get it. there is an advisory action that we follow that says that anytime we have an item that is going to be of great importance to the fellowship, that we should seek their input on that, and the board adheres to that. And sometimes as some of the items that we've dealt with the last few years were items that maybe didn't have to go through conference approval, it's important that we did take those items through conference approval. And any initiatives that we take towards social media are items of great importance, and those need conference approval. We need to all be on the same page there.
Thank you, Mike. Maybe one more question from Michelle.
Okay, thanks, Jack. So somebody is concerned that GSO is holding regional forums only in person, and they're not really promoting hybrid meetings, conference, and forums. That's their comment.
Somebody like to take a stab at that?
Noted. Well, I'd say, I think it's a fair comment. And when you can go to the regional forums page on the website, and you can always reach out and share that. And it was discussed, and the idea of having it in person after 2 years of online, the intention was to bring it back to an in-person event. I've just got a note about I might have put the wrong, I guess I put the wrong link for the online intergroup, but so it wasn't like it's, but I appreciate your comment. I feel like that's the thing about these great events is you get to share your ideas, bring them up at a district, share with your regional, with your delegates, at the service assemblies. When you attend the regional forums, you can share about, the idea of hybrid or want to understand that better. I know that the international desk just had the World Service Meeting in October, which was a virtual event. So not all events are entirely in person. Just some of them are now. Thank you.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. I think our time is up. Sorry, did you have another comment?
I was going to jump in a little bit on that one.
Sure, go ahead.
Because anytime we take an action like that, it is vitally important that the fellowship understand that will incur additional costs. When we did a hybrid board weekend, it cost an additional $20,000 to $25,000. And that would be along the lines of doing a forum. We would have to bring in a tech crew to run the hybrid equipment, the cameras, the recording equipment. To do that four times a year would be an additional $100,000 a year to the budget. So those are just, as a member of the board, when we were looking at, prudent financial spending, we didn't think that that was very practical. So we could do that, but just understand that there is a definite cost associated with those actions. So, and that cost comes directly out of the basket at your home group. That's where our operating funds come from. So the reason we didn't is because of practicing prudence there. So thanks, Jack.
Thank you, Mike. Excellent. Well, our time is up, and I want to thank all three panelists, Mike, Clorinda, and Diana, for showing up today and sharing their expertise and their enthusiasm. And it's been a great session, and I'm going to hand it back to Kimberly.
Thank you so much, Jack. Thank you again. I echo that. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, Mike, Diana, and Clarinda, and answering our questions and giving us so much information. Thank you. Thank you so much for spending your evening with us tonight. That was fantastic. Everybody else, please take a moment to complete the short feedback survey on this evening's session by clicking the link that's in the chat. There is an English version and a French version. Thank you also to our Zoom techs tonight, our chat monitors, and our interpreter, and everyone who was here this evening, and everyone who made this possible. The next session will take place on Wednesday, December 7th at 7 p.m., and the topic will be apps, websites, and content creation. So hopefully you will be able to join us then. The audio recording for this evening will be sent out sometime between now and Sunday. Sunday's a good day, I think, because it reminds you of the upcoming session and you have the link fairly handy. So hopefully that's worked out pretty well. So please help me close with the Declaration of Unity. I know you're still muted, but that's okay. You can just say it with me anyways. Please help me close with the Declaration of Unity, which is, this we owe to AA's future. To place our common welfare first, to keep our fellowship united, for on AA unity depend our lives and the lives of those to come. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here. Thanks. See you next week.
Thanks, Kimberly.
Thank you, Kimberly.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Diana. Thank you. Thanks, Clarinda. Bye, Mike.